You know, savvy advertisers know exactly when to advertise their products. On the July 4th long holiday weekend, you won't see many ads for snowmobiles or snow skis. Now, as the calendar moves forward into October, you'll start seeing ads for snowmobiles and snow skis. That's when our minds turn to winter sports. Clever advertisers know when the opportune time is, when we are most likely to be interested in a product or service and will buy that product or service. We are all keenly aware of the way that advertisers will dangle shiny new things in front of our eyes. I was just thinking just yesterday, you know, my car is now 5 years old, and you know, I hate to admit this publicly, but my car does not park itself. Now, if you're ashamed of me, I understand. My car is 5 years old, people, so cut me a little slack. But the way advertisers will dangle shiny new things, expensive things. Another confession, true story. When I go to my home into my kitchen, I actually have to exert myself with one arm and pull on the door and open the door before I really know what's inside my refrigerator. I can't see inside my refrigerator until I make the effort to open the door of my refrigerator. Again, if you're embarrassed by my backward ways, I understand. Those advertisers dangle these shiny new things, expensive things, or tasty treats in front of our eyes. And how many of us, my wife and I will chat about this every now and then, after 10 o'clock, you're watching TV, your day is winding down, you're relaxing. What do you see? Stream after stream of restaurant ads. Now, if I watch that ad, if I leapt out of bed with my shorts and t-shirt on and dashed to my car and drove as fast as I could up to Farallon or somewhere, that restaurant would be closing by the time I got there, right? Why advertise then? Well, the ad places the idea in my head, wow, that looks tasty. That fork taking the cheesy meal and this cheeses. Oh, that looks so good. Tomorrow night, when I'm hungry and will be, that's where I'm going to go to eat. These temptations are all around us. It is the vast sea in which we swim. Our sea is filled with commercial sharks waiting to take a bite out of our pocketbook, out of our health, out of our spirit, in fact. Now, the Gospel of Luke introduces the temptation of Jesus with these words. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, those words may puzzle us at first glance. Luke says the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's really what it says. And that's the truth. It's not a mistake. You see, in nearly every biblical account of those chosen by God to do mighty things, consider Joseph and David and Moses and John the Baptist. All those and many, many more in Scripture, we read about their stories and we see they endured a tough time. They endured a time of testing, a time truly in the wilderness, literally in the wilderness for some of them. A time of fear and questioning and doubting, a time of trial before they were prepared to do what it is God was asking them to do. Now, it may seem to us that those were times when God seemed silent in their lives, but it was not a time of punishment. It was, in fact, a time of preparation. There's a book by Blaine Lee. It's a book that's about 25 years old now. Blaine Lee, this book came out in which he detailed some of the training that he led at the United States Air Force Academy. He realized that the young women and young men at the Air Force Academy needed more than just the the severe mental, the intense mental and physical training that they were getting at the academy. They needed to hear real life stories from those who've been battle tested, Blaine Lee decided, and was invited to lead. And one of the most powerful stories that the students reacted to was told by a retired pilot. This pilot had served in the Vietnam War. This pilot had been shot down over Vietnam, been captured, but managed to escape from a Viet Cong prison. His story fascinated the students. They were, you know, right on the edge of their seats, wanting to hear more from this veteran pilot. They peppered him with questions. What weapons did you carry? Did you find necessary out in the field? What were the techniques that you learned in training that were useful to you in that escape? Well, the pilot heard their questions, but actually redirected all their questions with a simple response. He said, "I survived what was a hellish experience, not because of anything I had on me when he got to the Viet Cong prison camp. There was nothing they could carry in with them. They were, you know, stripped. Everything was taken off of them prior to even arriving at that point." He said, "It was what I had in me that made all the difference." Nearly everyone will experience times of questioning God's path for them, doubting the power and mercy of our God. But it is when we are unprepared for the darkest moments of questions and doubts that we're most likely to walk away from the relationship God wishes to enjoy with each and every one of us and all whom we love. Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer says some challenging words in a book called Temptation. He writes these words. Bonhoeffer says, "Satan does not fill us with a hatred of God, but rather Satan will lead us into a forgetfulness of God." Far easier to achieve in every life is a forgetfulness of Almighty God than a hatred of God. It is that forgetfulness of God that results in aching regret, alienation, and the emptiness one feels when they say to themselves at some point in life, "Isn't there more? Isn't there more to this life and to my purpose and to the spirit that I feel within me? Isn't there more?" Well, Jesus saves us from that pain. He chose to obey God's spirit and enter a time of testing and temptation in the wilderness to show us how to persevere, how to remain faithful. He was led by God's Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. But Jesus went willingly to put on display true faith. Well, our first Sunday in Lent is a review of what Jesus experienced at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus spent those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, tested and tempted. And many of you know the story well. The first temptation that he faced was the opportunity to turn a stone into bread. He was hungry. The Bible says he was famished, are Luke's words. And Satan asked him in so many words, "Why in the world would you suffer with hunger when you don't have to?" Satan recognized Jesus' power and might and played into that and said, "My goodness, why are you doing this to yourself? You don't need to go through all this. These stones, I know you can do this, Jesus, and I know how hungry you must be. Just turn that stone into a loaf of bread." Piping hot, soft loaf of bread. Jesus answers by saying, "One does not live by bread alone." Bread is not the source of life, Christ is saying. The source of life is found in obedience to God. Jesus will not create food to satisfy his hunger, for Jesus' greatest hunger in life is to be obedient to his Heavenly Father, the greatest hunger. The second temptation he faced in Luke's gospel was the control of the kingdoms of the world. This was a temptation to idolatry, in fact, that is, worshiping anything that is not God. And we know in the Ten Commandments, idolatry is spoken against. Do not worship anything other than the one true God. Well, anything we give our lives to that is not God is idolatry. And while so many we love seem to be enticed by the glitter of our world, offering their lives for a small stake, God calls us to put our world in its proper place. And Jesus refuses to bow down to anyone or anything that is not God. Jesus replies to Satan, "I will worship the Lord my God and serve only him." His third temptation in the Gospel of Luke is performative in his nature. Satan says, "Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the Jerusalem temple." Now, at that time, in that region of the world, the pinnacle of the Jerusalem temple would have been the highest point, the highest man-made point in that whole part of the world. Maybe, in fact, in the entire world at that point, but certainly in the Middle East, that would have been the highest man-made point for you to arrive to jump off of. Throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, and God's angels will catch you. You will not be injured. Did you know here that Satan is quoting scripture? Look up Psalm 91 sometime. 91 verses 11 and 12. Satan is quoting scripture to Jesus, saying, "That's what the Old Testament says, that's what the Bible says, that's what the prophets say, Jesus. Your foot will not be dashed against a stone. God's angels will protect you, Jesus." Satan quotes scripture. Well, even Satan knows scripture, but is not willing to bow down to Almighty God. And there are many others in our world who know scripture very, very well, but not willing to offer their hearts, not willing to obey, not willing to bow down and trust in the Lord. To this temptation again, Jesus says, no. I'm not going to put the Lord God to the test, as the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Well, Satan left Jesus after the wilderness temptation. Luke says, until an opportune time arose to test him again. Over the course of these temptations in the wilderness, Jesus refused to trade obedience to God for short-term relief from a challenge that he faced. I love the words of motivational speaker Zig Ziglar. He says the number one reason people do not reach their goals in this life, the number one reason people do not reach their goal in life, whatever that goal may be, is that they trade what they want the most for what they want right now. Yeah, that's my goal up there, but I've got to settle for this right now because this is what I want. Trading our goals for what we want most for what we want right now. Jesus wanted most of all to obey, to remain faithful, to stand strong in the face of temptation, and that should be our goal as well. Yet when we are not able to measure up to that goal, when we fall short of that goal, when we are not obedient, when we stumble in our faith and give in to temptation, the Bible assures us God is still willing to forgive and embrace and welcome us home. The message of Lent is a message of forgiveness and renewal and hope, even when we do fail. There's a wonderful book I'll close with. It's by Ron Lee Davis. It's called Courage to Begin Again. And in this book, he mentions a man who needed to repent, to be brought together, to be reconciled with God again. The man's name was Robert Robinson. He lived in London in the 18th century. He heard the church bells on a given Sunday morning. But the bells only reminded him of the faith that he once embraced years earlier, but had walked away from. Now he lived very far from God's path. But he came on out on that Sunday morning and hailed a carriage there in London. The carriage slowed down and stopped in front of him. He noticed there was a young lady in the carriage and said, "You know, I'm sorry, I don't want to take your carriage or redirect where you're headed." And she said, "It's okay, come on in." And so they shared the carriage as they went forward. The young lady spoke up and she said, "Are you going to church?" And after a tortured pause, Robinson very meekly said, "Yeah, I am going to go to church today." She continued the conversation with this stranger and asked him his name, and he replied, "My name's Robert Robinson." And she withdrew from her purse a small book of inspirational poems. And she said, "What a coincidence. I was just reading a verse by a poet named Robert Robinson. It wouldn't happen to be you, would it?" He admitted that he wrote that poem long ago, but he said he was in a far different spiritual place at that point. He was ashamed to admit to her how far from God he was at that present moment in that carriage. Well, she asked him, she was so excited, "I'm sitting across from a poet, a published poet," and she asked him if he would do her the honor of reading in his own voice as the poet, as the author of this verse, if he would read these words aloud to her in that carriage that was taking her and eventually him to church. And he read, "Come thou font of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." His eyes were filled with tears, the story goes, as he handed her book back to her, that book of inspirational poems. And as he did so, he turned his heart back to God and walked faithfully with God the rest of his life. There are days when we will feel far from God, when situations seem hopeless to us. And yet God waits patiently for all to return, for God to welcome us home. The most opportune time to commit our hearts again to God is right now. Prepare your heart and your spirit to live for the Lord, to be faithful each day, for God will carry us through the wilderness of life. Amen.